blind and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in a 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Morning, Ginny.
Morning, Kate. You're early.
After all the time I've taken off in this office, I should be.
You haven't missed a thing until now. There's a gentleman waiting to see you.
At this hour?
Who? Didn't give his name. He's there in the private reception room.
Oh, well, thanks. Anyone we know?
Not me, but I'd like to.
Oh, well, I'll turn him over to you. Eric.
Good morning, Kate. It was too early to call for an appointment, so I came over to your office. I might say I had the devil of a time finding out where you work.
Oh, well, it's no secret. I could have told you.
But I didn't have the wit to ask, so I called Holly Benson about 11 o'clock last night when my conscience began bothering me.
Eric, you needn't have any conscience.
I didn't think so either. But when you called me yesterday and asked for some information, I didn't give it to you.
And you told me what you thought.
One of my major vices.
Well, don't worry about it.
Don't brush me off. I came to apologize, and I came to give you the information.
Well, thank you, but...
But you don't want it.
Eric, all I wanted to know was whether you knew or were related to people named Pomeroy in Jamaica.
Who have a big old ruin of a house near Glory Point.
Yes, and you told me.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you got very serious and told me not to go near them, so I figured you did know them.
It was a rude answer, and I'm sorry. Now I'll say what I should have. Miss Ellen Pomeroy is my great aunt, a lady I revere. Her nephew, Louis Pomeroy, is my second cousin.
You revere him, too?
I would swim a river of crocodiles to avoid him, and almost did.
Oh, he's that bad?
He isn't human. He has iron filings instead of blood in his veins. Jamaica is 150 miles long, and if you can find anyone else on the island to talk to, I'd do it if I were you.
Well, I didn't say I was going.
This is a real estate office. My dear great-aunt Ellen is pathetically anxious to sell the old heap, and you were extremely businesslike yesterday. Right. Now, in return for my apology and abasement, will you tell me something?
I guess I should.
It's your duty. Why, in the name of the Seven Wonders, do you want to go down to Glory Point? They should send a man
down. Oh, Eric. Now, isn't that male chauvinism?
When a girl can't give you an answer, she falls back on that one.
I don't do anything of the kind. I'm going because... Well, it's a long story. And there's no reason why I can't go down there as well as any man alive.
It's not a wholesome place, Kate.
I don't want to buy it.
No, you want to sell it. Get a big commission and be a wonder girl.
That isn't the reason, but it'll do for now.
I'll tell you one thing. Cousin Louis would cut off his right arm before he sold the place.
Oh, well, that makes it a challenge.
You're a silly girl, but I find myself worrying about you. If you decide to take leave of your wits and go there, let me know, will you?
Thank you, Eric.
Kate! Oh, excuse me.
Oh, come on in, Jim.
Oh, I'm stopping the wheels of business. I'd better be going. Goodbye, Kate. Goodbye, Miss...
Goodbye. Who was that?
If I told you, June, you wouldn't believe it.
Try me.
His name is Eric Pomeroy.
Pomeroy?
Ever hear it before?
Not the same family with that big house on Glory Point.
distant, but the same.
You certainly work fast.
No, not really. I told you yesterday I met an Eric Pomeroy, and, well, when I got to thinking about it, I thought, why not call him and see if he can tell me anything about Glory Point?
And could he?
Everything bad. The house is a ruin. They really don't want to sell it. At least Mr. Lewis Pomeroy doesn't.
That's what I said.
I know. And then he added, if an agent goes, a man should go down there.
He didn't.
Imagine, in 1976.
Right on, sis.
June, I'm not carrying any banners, honestly. I just thought being with this office might help me talk to them. I'm going to see Mr. Ross right now.
That's what I came in to tell you, Kate. He won't be in this morning.
Oh, no.
He's gone down to the real estate commission's meeting on the new taxes.
Oh.
You know, save the city by making it more expensive to live in.
Yeah. When will he be back?
Kate, you certainly are driven by something.
That's just what I am, June. Driven. I have no choice.
I'm your teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Ross speaking. Oh, yeah, Ed, so what's new? Look, I said everything I had to say this morning. The crooks put the city in this hole, and now you're going to tax poor guys trying to make an honest buck to get the city out of it. Well, sure. Well, we'll have another 100 buildings going down the drain. Well, I'm thinking of giving up real estate and going into herring. You know, when you got herring, you got to move them. Yeah, okay, Ed. Goodbye. Margie, will you send June in here now? Oh, boy, what a rat race. Be all right if the rats would get out of it.
Good morning, Mr. Ross.
Yeah, come on in, June. Will you close the door?
Yes, sir.
Easy. You could drop a pin this afternoon, and I think it was a rocket blast.
What can I do for you?
Bring me an ice pack, huh?
Small, medium, or large?
You're okay, Junie. Look, is Kate in the office?
She's right outside.
Well, she asked Margie if she could see me this morning.
I know.
She left word she had to see me. What's it about?
Why don't you ask her?
Well, is she quitting?
If she is, she put in a long morning. She spent the whole time going over that brochure book we put out. The A listings, the big estates that are on the market.
Yeah. If she could sell just one of those, she could have this business. Maybe she just likes the pictures,
Kate doesn't spend much time looking at pictures.
Maybe she's found some rich oil guy to marry and wants to buy one. That would be okay, too.
With Mr. Cushing around?
Oh, yeah. So, you don't know what's on her mind.
Why don't you ask her?
Well, if she's quitting, I know what to say.
What?
I'll ask if she'd like a half interest in a herring business. Send her in, will you?
Right away.
Kay, go on in.
Thanks for seeing me, Mr. Ross.
Oh, yeah, Kay, come on in. Sit down, take a load off your feet.
Oh, thank you.
Have a seltzer tablet?
No, thanks.
Oh, you're young, you're lucky. Stay in this business long enough and you'll be eating them like steak. So, it's important to see me, huh? Well, what's on your mind? You want to quit?
Not unless I have to.
Look, if anybody's offered you a higher-paying job, don't believe it. Nobody's doing any better than we are.
Mr. Ross, I'm not looking for another job.
Well, good. So, what else?
Well, I was studying your brochure book of big estates for sale.
Our brochure, Kate, makes people think we're one happy family.
Our brochure of big estates.
Ah, that's better. Pretty handsome, aren't they? Makes you wonder, though, where people get all that dough.
There's one estate I saw listed down in Jamaica called Glory Point.
Forget it.
What do you mean?
They put it in the book, but they change their minds every day.
But they do want to sell. I mean, basically.
Basically? Who knows? One day the agent down there calls up. The old lady wants to sell. The next day he calls back. The nephew doesn't. I can't offer a client that. And I can't find out anything.
Well, maybe I could.
You?
I know quite a bit about Jamaica, Mr. Ross.
You been there?
Oh, yes, several times.
Oh, I don't know, honey. I don't think that's any job for a girl like you. They say the old lady is nutty as a fruitcake.
Who says so?
The nephew, Louis Pomeroy.
Well, what does the agent say?
Hadley. He's only guessing. Half the time they won't even talk to him.
Well, maybe they would talk to me. At least maybe the old lady would. And she's the one who wants to sell.
Oh, I don't know, Kate.
Why not? Because I'm a woman?
No, I wouldn't put it that way. It's just a strange sort of place, way out on the western end of the island, sort of isolated.
I've been there, Mr. Ross. Look, I can talk to them as well as any man, maybe a lot better.
Well, it'd be a switch. We've got a lot of places easier to sell than that, Kate. Why pick Glory Point?
It interests me.
Uh-huh. Well, when would you want to go?
Tomorrow.
Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray for application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Ladies, gentlemen, the small rain rains on. My house is chill, my temper short, my labors long. I am, nevertheless, and notwithstanding, your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. Yet I cannot try as I will counterfeit good humor. I have a fever and a touch of the gout. My wife, my manservant, my daughter all dose me with medicines. They try to bully me to my couch, leaving my faithful listeners with what? Silence. Well, I'll not. Come, let us to Becky Sharp. She, if anyone, can put me in good temper. Becky and Rawdon bide in their little cottage. Charming place, but they hope it only a temporary hearth. Yet, whilst they dwell here, they must make do, and are about it.
Rawdon, dearest, we must be about making more friends, sending off more letters.
Who now, my angel?
Emmy.
Emmy? She is your friend.
Well, I didn't finish. Emmy and George.
George? George Osborne? That bounder, that blockhead?
The same.
Make him a friend? That's what you're up to?
Mm-hmm.
He don't like you. Insulted you. I'll not have the swine in this house. Knock him flat and will again if he sets his boot across the threshold.
No, he doesn't like me, but he will.
You want him to like you?
Oh, you know full well I can't abide him. He's a pompous donkey with silly, stupendous moustaches, vain as a woman, and treats Emmy like a serving wench. I'd be most pleased never to set eyes upon him ever again. But to gain what one wants in life, one must put up with a great deal one doesn't want. So, George must like me, like you, and be our friend.
Will I ever understand you?
No, my darling, only love me.
Why, damn me, must George love you?
We need him.
In all conscience, for what?
What? Our affairs are critical, are they not?
And what's Osborne to do with that?
Everything to do.
George?
Have we any money? George has money.
We can live on credit, you said so.
Oh, not entirely. We must have some cash.
I say, George, old friend, lend us £1,000. There's a good fellow. Come off it, Beck.
Not lend, love. Lose.
What?
Have you not told me more than once that George is a very poor player at cards?
Yes.
An abominable billiard player?
Yes.
A ninny with the dice?
That too.
And you a genius at all three?
Yes, am.
Darling booby, do you not yet comprehend my meaning? If George is your friend, you play cards, play billiard, play dice with George, and behold, we will have cash in our pocket until Aunt Matilda is back in our pocket.
Ah, ha. Right. It signifies. What a one you are to... No. He won't come here with Emmy, Beck. I threatened him with a duel. He won't come near me.
She's exactly why he will come near you. Afraid not to.
Don't want him near me except to fight a duel. How I'd relish to hear my second say, stand back to back, gentlemen. Walk 10 paces. Turn and fire. Bang. Lieutenant George Osborne dead as a flounder. No, Becky. No. Cash or no cash, I'll not have that blackguard in my house. And that's flat.
George, darling, do look what Hopkins brought us just before you came.
What, Emmy?
Of course, someone brought it to Hopkins first, and then he brought it to me for
what,
us.
What, Emmy?
With such a very nice note from Lord and Crowley. He wants us to sup with him and Becky in their new little house.
Zounds, what nerve. I'm damned if I break bread with that pair. He's as base a dog as ever I met. And Becky, sharp, a brazen
but please,
little...
George. Don't say horrid things of my dearest friend.
Oh, all right, but I'll say what I please of Crowley. I've not told you this before, but the blighter, he...
Yes, darling.
Well, come to think of it, Becky is your dearest friend, and for your sake, little Emmy, I will forget any differences with Crowley and sup.
My opinion is of no consequence here, but I preferred what Rawdon prefers. George Osborne, dead as a flounder. Ah, well, Becky is in charge, and she would have it otherwise. Will it be otherwise? You'll pardon me while I drink my medicine, and then you shall be answered. Whilst Amelia and George drive to the cottage on Mulberry Row to dine with Captain and Mrs. Crowley, the hostess gives instructions to the host.
Now, my lord and master, you must be agreeable, harmonious, and amiable with George.
Will, best I can.
And you must not be jealous when I take him out on the terrace to see the backyard garden.
What garden? Covered with snow.
Oh, to see the snow on the hawthorn hedges, then. Very pretty and white.
Why the devil have you to take him outside?
Dearest, I did not like George Osborne from the first and have hardly said a civil word to him since. I must try to make up for that, and quickly.
How?
Well, I don't know how. I'll know when the time comes. I always do.
How will you get him from inside to outside without Emmy?
Emma, I don't know that either.
But will?
Yes. Well, you don't think I can?
No, you can't.
Thank you, my own, and thank you for not being jealous.
Didn't say that.
Oh, Rawdon, I despise him. Loathe the mere thought of being with him alone. I am making the sacrifice for you.
Oh, blast Aunt Matilda. If she'd but take us back, I'd not have to suffer that mountebank on the terrace with my wife.
Oh, how dear you are to want to spare me. How tenderly I love you for wanting to protect me. Now kiss me and wish me well.
The guests have arrived. Rawdon, at what cost, did, yes, receive George agreeably, harmoniously, and amiably. Whilst the two guardsmen enjoy a hot whiskey toddy, if not each other, Becky is showing Emmy the bridal chamber.
Oh, Becky, how I do envy you. Your own little house. Your own big husband. And surely you don't mind a bit that Miss Crawley has so meanly treated you.
Oh, I don't mind yet. Should it go on too long, I shall mind terribly.
I know how much you want the mansion, but this sweet, sweet house.
Oh, dear Emmy, never mind the sweet house.
I need your advice. I can no longer bear it that the man you're to marry dislikes me. Would it help, do you think, if I tell him how forlorn I am?
I never know about George.
Ah, yes, I can, but time. Tell him alone? Well, yes, I hadn't thought before. Alone is best, don't you agree?
I see you do.
Very well, I'll act as you advise. But how can I be alone with him? You'll ask him to step onto the terrace with me to look at the garden all covered with snow. You've seen it from the window and don't need to go with us. Oh, Emmy, how glad I am you thought of it.
George, dear, the back garden is so pretty, covered with snow. I saw it from the bedchamber. Do go onto the terrace with Becky and see the white hedgerows.
Splendid idea, Emmy.
Oh, well, I'd be very pleased to show you, George.
Oh, loathe snow. And what's a hedgerow to me?
La, I promise quite to change your mind.
Too damned cold. I've a bit of a catarrh. Outside make it worse. Prefer another hot toddy, Crawley, and stay all comfy inside.
I say, Beck, what now?
Why, you pour him his toddy, dearest. It's very efficacious for catarrh.
But you said...
I said I'd think of something. And I shall.
That George is a nasty customer. Any other man, even in the dead of winter, would leap for the terrace to be alone with Becky Sharp. Let us hope his damn catarrh worsens as has my gout. Dear listeners, it shall not keep me from you on Monday next. For I am your ever faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Been brought to you by Finalnet, non-aerosol hair mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxter. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Daytro, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your call to yourself?
This is your call, dear. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me?
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Oh, this is a wonderful breakfast.
Oh, honey, you always say that when I give you fried potatoes.
Huh? Oh, I guess so. I really like leftover fried potatoes and fried eggs and bacon. It's my idea of a great breakfast.
I know it is. Actually, it's a pretty fattening one, too, so I shouldn't fix it for you at all. But I had the potatoes left over and decided to spoil you this morning.
Ah, good.
Morning, Mom. Morning, Jen.
Oh, hi, Deb.
Good morning, Deb. Ooh, it smells so good.
Oh, I fixed your father some fried potatoes with onions and mushrooms and cheese. So he's in seventh heaven.
Oh, they're wonderful. Have some.
Oh, no thanks. I have to think about my waistline.
Well, has anybody got any suggestions about what to have for dinner tonight?
Oh, anything, Ma. Anything you cook is good.
Well, thank you, but I'd really appreciate some suggestions once in a while. I get so tired trying to think of what to have for dinner.
Oh, let's just have hamburgers.
Oh, Bob, that's all you ever suggest, hamburger.
Well, I like it. I could have it every night.
I ought to give it to you every night and see how long it'll be before you ask for something else.
No, no, I never get tired of it. Hamburgers and onions? Oh, boy, there's nothing better.
Doesn't that make you feel really good, Mom? Yeah. All the millions of special dinners you fussed over for?
Well, come on, suggest something else.
Well, first of all, I'm just finishing breakfast, and at this moment I can't even think about eating dinner.
You know, you always do that, Mom. You ask us when we're stuffed with breakfast what we want for dinner. Why not ask us when we're hungry?
Well, I don't see you when you're hungry. Daddy's at the office and you're in school.
Oh, speaking of my being at the office, I better get there.
Oh, here's your other cup of coffee. I poured it, so it'd be cool.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have to think of something for dinner tonight and something for dinner tomorrow night, too. The Jorns are coming over, which I trust you remembered.
Oh, is that tomorrow?
Yeah, what'll I have?
Oh, honey, and anything.
Oh, please don't say anything like that. I have to have something nice now.
Well, Glenn likes hamburgers and onions, too. I remember we were talking about it one time, and he said that was his favorite.
Yeah, I know. Barbara told me. We both agreed it was lots of fun cooking for two men, trying to think up new and exciting recipes for husbands who would rather have hamburger anyway. You know, it's certainly not very inspiring.
Well, I don't know why you worry about it, why you try to cook new and exciting recipes. I mean, why bother then, since we like hamburger better?
Because it's a very dull life in the kitchen, just cooking routine meals. Wife likes to branch out and try her hand at different things.
Isn't there any more bread?
In the bread box.
Just a crust left.
You made toasted cheese sandwiches for your friends last night. What did you expect, young lady?
Toast to crust, Deb. It's good.
Oh, I don't like the crust.
That's funny. You know, when I was little, I hated the crust, too. Now, I think it's the best part of the bread.
I'm going to learn how to bake our own bread.
Oh, that's fine. You do that, dearie. Well, back to dinner suggestions. And tonight, for you, I will have hamburgers and onions. But tomorrow, when Barbara and Glenn come over, what should we have?
Well, they're close friends. Well, why do we have to have anything so special?
Well, I have to serve something. Now, what will that something be?
Are Amy and Ann going to come, too?
Yes, so don't you make any other plans. You can entertain them. Oh, no, Amy won't be coming. She must be back in college by now.
We had pot roast one time when they were there. I remember Anne loved it.
Well, I can't have the same thing again. I've always liked lamb.
Glenn doesn't like lamb.
That's right. I keep forgetting. Pork roast? Pork's so expensive now, really.
Why don't you have chicken?
What kind of chicken?
With mushroom soup baked in the oven. Mmm, I love it that way.
Not for guests, Debbie. Oh, how about chicken with onions and garlic and then that tomato paste and chicken broth mixture and then baked in the oven for 3 or 4 hours slowly? Dinah Shore's recipe, as a matter of fact. Remember when I tried that? It was marvelous.
I don't like it that much. Too much garlic, as I recall. Well, why not have just plain fried chicken?
No, it's too messy. Grease splatters all over. Maybe I should get a small turkey.
Turkey?
Yum.
Oh, Ma, we've been turkey to death since Thanksgiving.
Please, no more turkey for a long time.
What else is there? How about veal with that wonderful sauce with the white wine and mushrooms and red peppers?
I don't like things that are made with wine. It gives it such a funny flavor.
Funny flavor? Honey, all good cooks use wine. Well, not all, of course, but I mean all gourmet cooks use wine.
Ma, I don't care. I don't like it. Hey, how about Hungarian goulash?
Yes, with the noodles. Oh, no. Daddy doesn't like noodles.
No, I'd rather have rice. But I'm not crazy about that goulash.
Well, there's so many onions in it. Actually, I can't have anything with onions because if Kay and Bond get back from Florida, they'll be here, too. And Kay can't eat onions. I don't agree with her at all.
Okay, why not just get a roast beef? That's the simplest thing to...
Oh, no, it isn't simple. If then somebody's late, the roast is ruined. I mean, if we want it rare, which we do, I don't want to have to worry about it all the time. Let me see.
Why not just fix a beef stew, which I love, and then you won't have to worry about it being done. It'll just stay hot, and then you can eat it whenever you want.
Mm-hmm. Beef stew seems so ordinary.
Well, everybody likes it.
I know. That sounds like long distance.
What, 7:45 in the morning?
Oh, dear, I hope nothing. I've got a feeling something is wrong. I have a feeling. I know it is. Hello? Yes? Yes, it is. That's right. Oh, must be Aunt Maggie calling us. It's from Montana. Something's wrong.
Don't start worrying wrong. Before you even talk to her.
Well, yes, operator. Yes, I'm holding on.
If you take Tylenol instead of aspirin for headache, now you can get the exact same relief with Daytrill and get a dollar refund besides. Buy Daytrill in the 100 or 250 tablet size, and Bristol-Myers will refund you $1. Send name, address, and Daytrill carton to Daytrill, Box 836, Farmingdale, New York, 11735, and get a dollar back. Offer good on one bottle only. Expires April 30th, 1976. So try Daytrill now and get a dollar back.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Hello? Yes, I'm still here, operator. Oh, thank you. Well, she's ringing now. You know, if it is Aunt Maggie, I can't think why she put in the call and then suddenly hung up. I mean, she's alone in that big house out there in Montana. I wonder if she's sick. She got up the energy to make the call, and then she suddenly collapsed from the exertion, and she's lying there helpless or something. She can hear the phone ring, but she can't reach
it
or something
like that. Oh, for Pete's sake, will you stop imagining all these things?
Well, Daddy, Mommy always does this. She's a born worrier.
Well, something is wrong. I know that. Hello?
Yes? Aunt Maggie.
Oh, it is Aunt Maggie.
Oh, say hello from me, Mom.
Yeah, Aunt Maggie, what is going on? Well, I know, but it's so early. It's 6 your time. Well, sure we're up, but Well, I guess it is cheaper to call now.
We should have known, knowing Aunt Maggie.
Well, just a minute. I'll ask him. Did you water the plants she left up in her room, the African violet and the jade tree?
What?
Did you water the plants up in her room?
I haven't watered any plants. I'll do that this weekend. But did she call all the way from Montana to tell us to water her African violet?
Just a minute. Aunt Maggie? Well, he'll do it tomorrow. What? Do not water the jade tree. All right, don't water the jade tree.
Yeah.
No water at all. No water at all.
Okay.
Next week. Yeah, next week. All right. Well, now, wait a minute, Aunt Maggie. I better get paper and pencil and write that all down.
I better get to work. Now, look, give her my love and tell her we miss her. I've got to get to the office.
Yeah, well, tell her yourself, dear. I'm finding paper and pencil. Here's Bob, Aunt Maggie.
Hello, Aunt Maggie. I don't really enjoy doing my crossword puzzle without somebody here to mess it up first. Yeah. Listen, we miss you. Now, you hurry up and get back here. What? Yeah. Peg's writing down all the instructions for watering your plants. Wait a minute, here she is.
Well, wait a minute, Daddy, please. I want to say hello. Hello, Aunt Maggie. We miss you. Oh, yes, we do. I hope so. Well, here's Mom. I've got to get ready for school, okay? Bye-bye.
All right, let me have it. Hello, Aunt Maggie. Yeah, water the jade tree next week. I've got that, yeah. Take the dead leaves off the geraniums, yes. Repot the what? Repot the Diffenbachia. No, the asparagus fern is just fine. What?
For a woman who pinches pennies the way Aunt Maggie does, it does seem pretty silly to phone long distance just because there's some geraniums and asparagus fern and Diffenbachia.
Aunt Maggie, don't worry. We'll watch over your plants as though they were our children. No, we're all just fine. No, nothing much. Oh, Barbara and Glenn Joyner are coming for dinner tomorrow night. Oh, I don't know. You got any ideas? Oh, well, you know, he's not wild about Chinese food.
Peg, this is long distance. Yeah. It's hardly the time to discuss menus.
Yes, Norwegian meatballs with lingonberries. That's perfect, Aunt May.
Now, remember, she's paying for it. Don't run up her bill.
Bob thinks I shouldn't run up your phone bill talking about food. We better hang up, Aunt May. How are you? You what? You have a broken leg. What do you mean, a broken hip? What do you mean?
Did you say broken leg? Aunt Maggie has a broken...
Nothing to worry about. Where are you? Well, how did it happen? For heaven's sake, why didn't you tell us at once? Operation, when? Aunt Maggie, you cannot hang up. Now, look, we love you, too. You have someone call me or I'll call... Aunt Maggie? I know we love you, too.
Why'd you hang up?
She hung up. I was just coming for her. Take her to the operating room. She's broken her hip or her leg. I didn't get putting a pin in.
How did it happen?
I don't know, dear. She didn't have time to go into any explanation. Well, I just can't believe it. There she was worrying about her plants and me asking her what to have for dinner. All the time she's headed for the operating room, she was so cheerful.
And Maggie's really something, isn't she?
Didn't I tell you that I knew something was wrong? I knew something was wrong. Oh, it seems strange. Life goes along so smoothly, and then wham!
Well, it happens in every family, dear.
I guess so. Oh. Oh, you know what she said just before she hung up? Don't put too much allspice in the meatballs, dear.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
I'd always share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold, dear. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought Four-Way Nasal Spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than Four-Way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought Four-Way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on Four-Way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting. Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Finalnet. Finalnet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Finalnet holds up longer than you do.
Emily! Emily! Oh, I was watching the kids, Angela. They seem so much more mature than when we were in high school.
Hop in.
Ah, thank you.
How did the meeting go?
Oh, all right, I guess.
Any place you want to go?
No, I better get on home, dear. I have a pot roast that's slow cooking in the oven.
Was there any problem?
No. Susie's counselor, Miss Nelson, is very nice, and she knows her job.
Susie was there.
Oh, yes. It was her idea we have the meeting.
Does she have any idea what she wants to do?
Not really. Oh, she does want to go to college, but she doesn't know which one or what she wants to major in.
Well, do the tests indicate any aptitude?
Well, that's the trouble, Angela. According to Miss Nelson, Susie could go into almost any field she wanted to.
Well, maybe it's too soon. She's only 16.
No, Miss Nelson says it's not too soon. She said the next 2 years should be used to prepare for the college and the career she wants.
Things were much simpler in our day, weren't they?
Yes. Having more choices is great, but having to make the decisions. Now there's just so much more a girl can cloud for.
I wonder if it'll make them any happier.
What do you think? In Susie's case?
Hmm?
Well, she's had two examples in the family. You're the career woman, and I'm the homebody.
Lots of women want both.
No, it's not easy. Angela, if you hadn't had to worry about me, what would you have done?
Well, I always wanted to be a nurse.
You know, Susie's just the age you were when Mom and Dad died. I can't imagine Susie taking on the responsibility you did.
Hey, you just said you thought this generation was more mature.
Oh, yes, but not in everything. Oh, I worry about Susie and Jennifer.
How do you mean?
Well, if I'm not here.
Now, Em, don't.
Now, we can't pretend it's not going to happen, Angela. Bobby's almost grown up, but Susie and Jennifer, I don't know. And it'll be hard for Jason, too.
that's going to be a long way off. Maybe not. Looks like we'll be leaning on you again, Angela. The way we always have. And even more.
That's as many push-ups as I feel I should indulge myself in.
Well, make it easy on yourself, Marsh. I come to the gym all the time. Here's a towel.
Thanks. I was really thinking of you, Jason.
Yeah, I'll bet. Say, listen, I talked to Angela yesterday.
Yeah? Everything all right?
Well, I think so. It's a funny time for Angela to back off from us. I can't figure it out.
Yeah. Did she have any answers?
No, just that she's worried about Emily. I wouldn't have thought it would affect her like this.
Well, I think Angela's a more complicated person than we've been aware of.
Yes, I'm sure you're right, Marsh.
Hey, Let's see if they got some tables open in the massage room.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, worried as I am about Emily, it's not as bad as it would be without Angela.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You know, more and more I realize how much our home has depended on her.
Well, that's a little tough on her, isn't it?
Well, she's always wanted it that way, I thought.
Yeah, maybe the cost has been high for her.
Yeah, maybe it has.
We do change as we get older, you know. And it's not just measured by push-ups. The emotional aspect and needs are different. Maybe Angela's realizing that.
Writing the diary. Gotta be sure to keep that drawer locked. Oh, Ginger, come on in.
Are you busy, Emily?
Oh, no, my oven's done all the work for dinner.
Pot roast?
That's right, good for you. Sit down, Ginger.
Oh, thank you. I was wondering if you and Jason could come to dinner some night next week.
Well, I'm sure we can. Let me take a look at the calendar. Tuesday or Thursday?
Let's set Tuesday.
Fine. I'll write that in.
How have you been feeling lately? I remember when we were here for dinner.
Oh, yes. Well, every now and then I do get the wobblies, but they go away.
Ginger, what a lovely bracelet.
Oh. Is that new?
Oh, my bracelet. Yes, yes, it is. Marsh gave it to me for my birthday.
Well, it's just lovely.
I've wanted one like this ever since I can remember. And this has a special meaning.
It does?
Yes. You know about the misunderstanding.
No, I don't.
Oh. I thought Marsh might have told your sister.
Well, if he did, Angela hasn't told me.
That's funny.
Why?
Well, since it involved her.
Your birthday present involved Angela?
Yes, she helped Marsh pick it out.
Well, I'm glad you like it, then.
Oh, yes. I was in the jewelry store getting Marsh's cufflinks monogrammed, and they came in together.
Oh?
They didn't see me, so I slipped out.
You slipped out?
Yes, I was so upset, I didn't trust myself there in the store.
You thought Marsh was buying something for Angela?
Well, wouldn't you think that?
Well, no. He could have been getting something for himself.
Well, anyway, when I gave him the cufflinks, I told him I'd seen him there with Angela, and, well, since it looked the way it did...
Oh, that must have taken the edge off your birthday present.
I really felt very foolish. He even had it engraved.
Oh.
After that, I knew I'd never be jealous again. I felt so silly, Emily. It was all just a misunderstanding.
Well, I'm sure Marsh realizes that.
I hope so. It was a natural misunderstanding.
Of course. Marsh, you really should go.
Oh, just one more drink.
You know, this is getting to be a habit. You're bringing me home.
Well, if gives me a half an hour with you.
I'm afraid I've used your shoulder to cry on a lot in the past few weeks.
Well, you're feeling better, and you look better.
Yes, Well, I still can't accept what's happened to Emily, but she seems to have, so it's the least I can do.
Things would be different for you if you had a man in your life.
Yes, they would.
I don't mean to pry.
Well, don't, then.
Angela, don't you know I care about you, what happens to you, if you're happy or not?
Marsh, I'm really not your responsibility.
Well, I don't look on it as a duty.
I think of you as a good friend, and lately I have needed a good friend.
I'm glad.
Maybe I take advantage of that.
Anytime you want to, you know you can.
You make it very easy.
In these last few weeks, I've gotten to know you so much better.
Yes, I certainly have let my hair down.
Jefferson, you're all efficiency and organization.
Well, that's the job.
But it's not you.
I think I'm just beginning to find out what I am.
It frightens you?
Yes, it does.
Angela.
Marsh, you better go. It is late.
All right.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Good night.
Marsh, please.
Oh, between friends, Angela. Good night.
Oh, what is happening to me?
Has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.